And out of James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you most of all for Jesus who loved us. And Lord, thank you tonight for having us in the palm of your hands. You've got us. Lord, I'm glad your Holy Spirit resides in our heart tonight. Thank you for these good testifying and testimonies that we've heard of folk just wanting to praise you. And Lord, I pray you've got the honor out of it tonight. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. We're blessed more than what we could ever imagine. And thank you for that tonight. But it's the preaching hour. And Lord, we certainly need a touch from you tonight. Need you to come by and help us. And Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts while we might preach. And give us understanding in the word of God tonight. Guard our mind and our thoughts. And Lord, keep the devil at bay. And keep him far away. And just put a hedge about us. And Lord, help us preach tonight, for we certainly need you. Save the one that might be lost. Help the one that needs help tonight. And give guidance and direction. We'll give the glory for it. Save that sinner's nurse. Stay up for these things in Jesus' name. Do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As James was talking about Abraham right here, he makes a statement about him. He said, not only did he believe God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, I'm glad that it's belief and that of the Lord Jesus Christ and a finished work at Calvary that he imputes his righteousness unto us. I'm thankful for that tonight. But listen what he said down in the very last part. He said, and he was called the friend of God. Now, as Jehoshaphat was out there praying in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, as he's talking to the Lord over there, when all these companies are coming up against him, and he's praying, and he said, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? So we find that the Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. And so Abraham had a relationship, and that with the God of heaven. And that's what I want to look at tonight, is our relationship and that with God tonight, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word relationship simply means the state of being related by kindred, affinity, or other alliance. The root word of that is relation, which means a connection between things or what one thing is regard to another. And I think y'all understand that. I mean, my wife has a relationship with Bobby and Linda because that is her mother and her father. Just like Daniel back here with his mom and dad. And my wife, we have a relationship because we're married. And we have a relationship because I'm the pastor and you're the church members. And hopefully we have a good relationship. Amen. And I think we do. Bethany, do we have a good relationship, don't we? Amen. That's right. She told me this morning, what did I do about Tricky on the way out? She said, I'm going to go find another church. You know, that's what some people, she was only kidding, by the way. I hope. Amen. You know, that's how some people think. You know, they get a little upset with the preacher and they're going to go find another church. But listen, our relationship, can I say tonight, with the Lord does matter. I think our relationship matters greatly with him tonight. And it's more, can I say, than just knowing about him or knowing him tonight. Now, when we get saved, our relationship starts. Your relationship should start with God the minute that you get saved. I knew that when I got saved, but listen, I'll be honest with you. My relationship as far as growth, as Peter talked about in 2 Peter 3, he said, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My growth didn't start till I got much older than 14 years old. And I wish that I would have grew earlier in my Christian life than I did. But listen, there's something about knowing him and spending time with him and have a relationship with him. I love spending time with God, don't you? Amen. Say with me now. Listen, the Bible said that Abraham was called the friend of God. What a wonderful testimony tonight. Wouldn't you like to be called the friend of God? Wouldn't you like for heaven to say that this man, this woman right here, this young man or young lady is a friend of God, not an enemy, and that of the Lord? But I want to look tonight at our relationship with the Lord. First of all, it is a relationship of sonship or daughtership tonight, however you want to look at it tonight. The Bible said in John chapter 1, he said, "But as many as received him, out of them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And so he said that what? As many as received him. And listen, when you get saved, that's what you have to do. You have to receive that Christ into your heart. And he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. You know, when we got saved, birth into the family of God, John 3:7, the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus over there, "I marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again." You must be birthed into the family of God. There must be a physical birth, and then there must be a spiritual birth. He said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." And friend, when you got saved, you got birthed into the family of God. But if you've never been saved, you've never been birthed into the family of God. You do not have a relationship with the Heavenly Father tonight, nor with His Son. The Apostle Paul put it to us like this. He said, "We got adopted in as the Gentiles." That's exactly what happened. We got adopted in. I mean, you go over in Romans chapter 11 and you'll find out that the wild olive branches were broke off, and or the natural olive branches were broke off, and we were grafted in. Romans 8 said, "For you've not received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We do have a Father tonight. Ain't that wonderful tonight? Listen, it is one of sonship. It is one of being birthed into the family of God. Now, listen, think about how you belong and that to your parents tonight. As much as I'm sure my daddy at times wanted to deny me, he couldn't deny me. One, he had papers on me from Sweetwater. He couldn't deny me. Two, I looked just like him. And three, everybody knowed I was his. But listen tonight, no matter how bad it gets or what happens, I tell you, that's probably times God wanted to deny us, but he never will. I mean, listen, the foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are his. Listen tonight, when I got birthed into the family of God and it become a sonship with him, between me and him, I become his possession. It's like tonight that Titus and Silas belong to Jeremiah and Sarah. They don't belong to nobody else. They belong to them. As much as we love on them and they like to play with them, they're theirs. Isaiah chapter 43, I like to shout it when I read this afternoon. He said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." And then he said, "Thou art mine." He redeemed me. He bought me. He paid for me. And he made me his. I belong to him tonight, not to anybody else. I'm glad I no longer belong to the devil. John 8:44, what did he tell them Pharisees over there? He said, "You're the father, you're your father, the devil, unless your father's, you'll do." I don't belong to the devil no more. I belong to him. I was birthed and born into the family of God. It is one of being a child tonight. Just like you own, whether your children want to believe this or not, they're yours. I mean, these kids around here probably don't want to believe that sometimes. And they want to be their own person, and they will be their own person one day. But friend, hey, listen tonight. I belong to him. And not only am I his, but he's mine tonight. Amen. Hey, just as sure as I'm my dad's son, I'm his son, and he's my dad, and he's my dad tonight. Amen. Ain't that wonderful thought tonight? But he told Israel over there, he said, "I've redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." You know, he went on the next verse and said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Not only are we bought, not only are we his possession tonight, I mean, we have been placed into the family of God. Ain't that something tonight? God gave us a family.
You know why I like church tonight? Because we're family.
Yeah.
I'd rather be around you than be around some of my family. My real family. My wife will tell you that's the truth tonight. Some of my real family, they're a mess, man. I'll be honest with you. They hard to take. And you say, well, preacher, you're hard to. I'm sure they feel the same way about the preacher tonight. Amen. I'm sure that I'm hard to take at times. But listen, tonight we got birthed into the family of God. And listen, we fellowship around Him. And it's because of Him that we become His possession. And in being His possession, listen, when we got placed in the family of God, we're protected by Him. Can't be undone, can it? Not only can we not be, we cannot be taken away from God. Take your Bible and go to the book of John tonight. See, John chapter 10, looking at eternal security. John 10. John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Ain't that a wonderful verse? We just read over that sometimes, don't we? He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never going to die. Never going to die. That is a promise from God tonight. And then not only that, then look what he said right here. After that he said, I give unto them eternal life. That's a promise. And they shall never perish. That's a promise. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We can't be snatched out. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're kept by God Himself tonight. Remember, we're in His hand. We're in Jesus' hand. He said, I and my Father are one. We can't get out no matter how much we want to. Listen, we're protected in Him. We're kept in Him. Nobody can get us. The devil can't get us again. We can't be undone. We can't be lost again. We're saved from here to eternity. Listen, if we can be lost again, then friend, what He done at Calvary wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to wash away my sins and keep me saved. But what Christ done was good enough tonight. Or He'd have to die more than once. I'm glad to be saved tonight. Amen. Not only are we protected in Him, but we're protected by Him tonight. Listen, I know hard times come and problems come, but I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil can't get us. He may get the best of us sometimes if we let him, but he can't get us tonight. I'm thankful for that. Our relationship in sonship is I'm His possession, and I'm protected by Him. And He keeps me tonight. I love that tonight. I love that verse where He told Israel. He said, I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I'm His possession. You realize if you're saved tonight, you belong to God. You're His tonight. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? That thrills my soul tonight. It really does. Not only that, are we protected and we can't be undone. But listen, that we have become partaker of heavenly things. You know, when I got saved, when I got birthed into the family of God, you know I have a heavenly Father. Right? I got a heavenly brother tonight. If you'd let me use that, I mean that. No disrespect. And that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're joint heirs. And that with Christ tonight. We'll look at that here in a minute. Do you know that I'm partaker of heavenly things tonight? It's not the heavenly Father in heaven. Is not our brother tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're joint heirs with tonight. Is He not in heaven? Does not Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 say, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight? That's a wonderful verse, by the way. I remember the first time I ever got to see that verse for what it really was. I mean, as He raised up Christ, He raised us up too. And listen, as sure as He's seated in heavenly places and I, so am I. Amen. I'm just as good as in heaven tonight as I will be when I draw my last breath here. Amen. Thank God for that. But you know what? We're partakers of heavenly things. Everybody talked about the Lord's blessings tonight. The Bible says it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow with it. I don't believe there's one of us in here tonight. I'm looking across the house that can't say that we're not blessed. We can say we're blessed tonight. Why? Because you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is your personal Savior. Think about where you'd be tonight if you didn't know Him. Some of you be dying, going to hell. Some of you might be in hell tonight without Him. Listen, there ain't no telling where we'd be tonight without Christ Jesus the Lord. I think about this from time to time. I think about what if this thing just wasn't real? There's two things I'm going to tell you if it ain't real. One, don't tell me no different, because I like what I do. And two, if I knew that it wasn't real, I'd still want to live the way that I'm living right now. Because this is the best life I've ever had, friend. You say, it could get better, preacher, if you had all... Listen, I don't need all the money in the world tonight. I was pondering, I believe it was early this morning, I was pondering about folk that's got all kinds of money. And you may have all kinds of money tonight, and I hope you spend it for the Lord. And listen, if you can spend it for the Lord, if you can have it and use it and still serve God, good for you. Amen. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that's got money tonight, and they're using it for God. And you know what? God will just let them keep making it if they'll just keep using it. Amen. Do you know what? There's a lot of people out there tonight, though, but they're chasing that dollar bill tonight. And they think that that's going to bring them happiness and joy and peace. And it ain't going to do nothing but bring them trouble. And it's going to bring them heartache, because the more that they've got, the more that they want. But boy, I'm telling you, when you've got God in your heart and you know that you've been birthed into the family of God and you're His son and you're His daughter, listen, it makes all the difference in the world tonight. He told the church over at Corinthians over there, he said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What did he say? Separate yourself, though. Got to come out from among the world. Worldly things don't matter tonight. But we'll be partaker of heavenly things, the blessings of the Lord. They're heavenly things. What about tonight being a partaker of heavenly things? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but when you pray and talk to Him and He answers back, boy, you're talking about being a partaker of heavenly things. But I'm talking about your relationship as a son or a daughter. I'll say it again for y'all don't know, but most of you know, I call my dad every day of the week except for Saturday and Sunday. Sometimes I call him on Saturday and talk to him. I know I talk to him at least one Chester. And you know what? I enjoy talking to him. But you know, if I really needed something, if I needed something, he would do whatever he could to make sure that I got what I needed. You know, the same is true with our Heavenly Father. All we have to do is just ask. You know what will happen? I believe it will come through. Now, I'm talking about what you need now. And don't know what you want. I'm talking about what you need. Let's look over at the book of Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. I know the Lord just don't... I don't look at Him as a grandfather type handing out suckers in heaven. But I do look at Him as one that I'm His son, and He does care for me, and He wants to take care of me. Matthew chapter 7, look in verse 8. Matthew 7, he says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" You see? Can I tell you tonight, I don't know you need tonight, but I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, if you're a son or daughter of the Lord and you've got a need tonight, you can be partaker of heavenly things in your prayer life. I know that I ask the Lord for so much all the time. I do. I just feel like I'm constantly asking. Lord, help this one, help that one, help this one. Let's help this one. This one's got cancer. This one's dying. This one's sick. This one's got problems. Lord, this one's financial issues. This one's got family trouble. This one's got a job trouble. And I mean, it's just like, Lord, can you intervene in all this? Can you help my life? Can you help me? I mean, it just seems like I'm asking all the time. But you know, the Bible did say, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need." I think the Lord does want us to come to Him. He said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I think the Lord does want to help our needs, and He does want us to come and ask Him. Now, I do think when we come to pray that we need to come and pray not only with asking, but we need to come and pray with thankfulness. I mean, it would do just good sometimes just to say, "Lord, I've not come today to ask you anything. I've just come to say thank you. And then just begin to discount your blessings and begin to thank him for all your blessings. Say, Lord, you know what folk need, but I just come to thank you today. I ain't done that in a long time. Just to say thank you, Lord. I know the Lord would appreciate that if we would just thank him. Just get along by ourselves sometime. Some of you just get around the coffee table there at home or the bedside with your husband and wife and your children and say, we're just going to thank the Lord tonight. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to thank him. I believe that he would love that. You say, God ain't got a complex. He's worth every bit of our thanks tonight. Talking about our relationship as a son and a daughter. We're partakers of heavenly things tonight. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Ain't that what he said in Romans chapter 8? He said, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of bondage or the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so, that be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We're heirs and joint heirs. Because we're a son. I tell my dad and my mother, Daddy says sometimes he gets into his retirement and he says, son, I'm spending your money. And I laugh and I'd say, Daddy, I wish you'd spend every dime you had before you left out of here. That way me and my sister ain't got nothing to argue about once y'all leave. Reverse mortgage the house. I don't care what you do with it. I'm not waiting on her. None of that. He's thinking of me. I really am tonight. But you know that I've got something waiting on me over yonder. Amen. I do. I've got an inheritance. Peter said that we've got an inheritance. I that faded away over in heaven. Ain't that something tonight? I'm glad, hey, not only do I got blessings down here, and I'm talking to the Heavenly Father, and he'll meet my needs down here. And you know what? Every now and again, he'll meet our wants too, won't he? And y'all believe what you want tonight. And I'm I'm not going to blame it on the Lord for the hot dog, but I'll never forget that time that we went through the crystals and my wife got one of them little short hot dogs, and I thought, man, I'd like to have one of them. And that girl put one too many in the bag. I'm not going to say the Lord done that, but I sure was appreciative to get that one little hot dog. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to blame him for all them carbohydrates and all everybody. That's probably not good for us to eat, amen. But he knows that we're living in a sinful body anyway, amen. See, it's that little stuff, though. Just that little stuff. Lord ever done anything little for you. But it really wasn't little, but it was great big when you think about it. It was great big. You know why he does it? Don't you moms and dads do something for your children simply because they're your children? Think about it for just a minute. Have you not got them something? They probably wasn't deserving of it, but you went ahead and got it for them anyway. But why? Because they were your children. You wanted to do it. It wasn't going to hurt them. And you wanted them to have it. And so you done it for them. You know, the Lord does us the same way. Our relationship with the Lord is one of a sonship. But then our relationship should be one of friendship. The text verse talks about how that Abraham was called the friend of God. Exodus chapter 33, the Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. God was not only a friend with Abraham, but he was a friend with Moses too. I'm glad the Lord's my friend tonight. Bible said in the book of Proverbs over there in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 and the latter part of it, he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I believe that verse is really talking about the Lord tonight being our friend. The word friend simply means one who is attached to another by affection. You know, I believe he loves us tonight. I do. I believe that, listen, that we're the apple of his eye because we have trusted his son and he saved us. Just as sure as David was the apple of God's eye. And just as sure as Israel was the apple of God's eye, I believe we are tonight too. I believe God loves us. And I believe God wants to be our friend tonight. I believe the Lord wants to be your friend. How about you tonight? Do you want to be the Lord's friend? I do. Hey, listen tonight. Friends like to spend time together. The Bible said over in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? I like to walk with the Lord. I do. I like to spend time with the Lord. Meditate on the Lord. I like to I like it when He just wants to talk and I get to sit and listen and He talks and I listen and then I talk and He listens and we just commune and fellowship together and that around His blessed Son. I just love to talk to the Lord and spend time with Him. I love to spend time with Him by myself. I love to spend time with Him. I listen when He comes by through hearing the singing and through the testifying and He just squeezes your heart and just lets you know that He just come by. And just wanted you to know that He was near. Boy, I love that. I don't know what I'd do if He didn't let Himself let me know that He wasn't near every now and again. And just squeeze upon my heart. You know, you say, what do you get tore up about that? Listen, I know that when He squeezes on my heart, everything's okay. When He squeezes on my heart, I know everything's all right. Oh, it's sweet sometimes. Don't you just love to talk to your friend? But when you've had a hard day and ain't nobody else knows, or there ain't nobody else probably might care like your friend will. Boy, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way. There ain't nobody care for us like He will. Boy, I'm telling you, we walk together. And we have to walk together agreed. But listen, I love to spend time with Him. I love to fellowship with Him. Listen, when you spend time with somebody, don't you fellowship around the same thing? And I ask you, how much time do you spend with Him tonight? How much time do we spend in our Bible and in our daily prayer life and meditation and just thinking on Him? I know that you can't spend every waking hour reading your Bible and praying. I know that. Not down on your knees with your eyes closed praying. I know the Bible said pray without ceasing. I that men always ought to pray and not to faint. I understand those Bible verses tonight. But listen, I know we've got jobs to do and work to perform. But the Lord does want us to think on Him and meditate on Him through the day. But He's my friend. You know, a friend is somebody that you spend time with, you fellowship with. Friend, somebody you tell your secrets to, ain't it? If you got any secrets. But be careful with secrets. They'll get you in trouble. But you know the Lord already knows about those secret things. But I love to spend time with Him. Have things in common. You know, the great thing about a friend is a friend loves no matter what. What the Bible say in Proverbs 17? A friend loveth at all times. Well, think about that for a minute. A friend loveth at all times, no matter what happens. A friend loves at all times. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way. He loves at all times. He's my friend. Bible said in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know the Bible said that we're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is that not what He said? We're laborers together with God. You know what? God's working with us as long as we're going to work. As long as we're going to labor, God's going to labor with us. He'll do His part if we'll do our part. He said, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heed. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There you go, there's three. In the Trinity tonight. But listen, friendship. It's one, you know what? I'm glad that I am my mom and dad's son, and I belong to them. But I'm glad to be their friend tonight. And I'm their friend. We have friends. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't need them to be my friend. I needed them to be my parents. Children need parents. But you know, I'm 44 years old and I still need a parent every now and again. But listen, I'm glad that they're my friends. It's fun to just sit down and talk and fellowship and just have a good time together. And just to be in the presence of one another. Ain't that something? Can't get away from that tonight. Boy, to get in His presence, it does something to you tonight. When He comes by. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go over to the book of Luke chapter 15. While you're looking there, going to Luke chapter 15, what does it take to become His friend? You ever think about that? The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The Lord said if we keep His commandments, we're His friends. But if we don't, we're not His friend tonight. You know what some believers tonight have done? They have become friends and that with the world. The Bible said in James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't want to be a friend of this world. I want to be a friend of God's tonight. But we find a story of, we call it the prodigal son. And you find right here, as we read this, he never ceased being this man's son. But his relationship, his friendship, not his sonship, but his friendship with his father was broke off. He said, now listen, watch this right here. A certain man had, well, what's your Bible say right there? Two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto, what's your Bible say, them, his living. The younger son got his portion. The elder son got his portion also. That's very important tonight. You need to stay with me, okay? And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now we see in this passage of Scripture what sin does. We see the degradation that it causes. We see and that it bankrupted him of everything that he had morally, spiritually, physically. This boy's bankrupt. And he said in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, I see that in my mind. I do. I try to picture that thing. And it's just a long, dusty road in my mind. But that father's on that farm out there. And he looks out across through there in the evening time as the sun's setting. And there comes that boy. And how he knew him, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, God knows those that are his. Amen. No matter how ragged, no matter how tattered they may be, no matter what kind of sin they've got themselves into and the shape that they're in, listen, God knows those that are his. And the Bible said that he done what? He had compassion. He saw him. He had compassion. And then the Bible said, and ran. Whew. Man, what love that the father had for the son right there. He didn't berate, let me read on. And fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. See, so he starts his speech right here. And y'all know the story. But the father said to his servants, he stops him. Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. But look in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. See, the younger son was off in the far country, but the elder son was in the field working. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Well, that's a brother right there, ain't it? You know, the Bible said that they said that a brother was born for adversity. Well, there ain't no doubt about that right here. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know what that word entreat means? That means to urgently request. I mean, his father just didn't go out nonchalantly say, why don't you come in? I mean, he come in going out and grabbed him by the arm and went as far as to get ready to pull him in. I mean, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted him to come in and celebrate his brother's return. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know what them two boys had in common? It was all about them. The prodigal son, the waster, it was about him. You know what the elder son was? It was about him. He says, you've never gave me anything like that. And really, what did the father do? He divided between them his living, didn't he? And then he said this, but as soon as this thy son was come, he didn't say when my brother came, he said when your son came. He said, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Now watch this right here. And all that I have is thine. He missed it, didn't he? He missed the whole thing in serving the Father and remaining faithful with the Father. Everything that the Father had was his. He just missed it. He missed it. He said, all that I have is thine. Can I tell you tonight, I believe that's the way it is with us and God. I believe all he has tonight is ours tonight. You know, the Bible said that he can do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. All we've got to do is go to the throne and he'll take care of it tonight. I believe that with all my heart. But look what he said. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. You know what he said? It was meet. It was right. That was the right thing to do. He said, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. I read that to tell you this. Our sonship cannot be strained with the Heavenly Father. It cannot change. But our friendship can. Your relationship, as far as a son or a daughter, can never change. But your friendship with him can. I'll guarantee you that the friendship, when that prodigal left, I'll guarantee you, it changed. You want to get away from God, you can get away from God. If you want to live nigh unto God, what did he say? He said, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. But our friendship can change. It's kind of like standing in states, you know, in the Heavenly Father. How's your relationship with him tonight? Are you a son or a daughter? Have you been saved? Do you know him as yours and you're his tonight? I belong to him. Boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. But you know what? How's your relationship as far as your friendship goes? It should be good tonight. It shouldn't be strained. Let's bow our heads tonight. How is your relationship tonight? Are you saved? Do you know him? Well, you're talking about putting joy and happiness in your heart when you know him. But you know, when your relationship is right as a son or a daughter, and your relationship is right as a friend of God's, but when he just comes by, Some of you had your heart squeezed tonight because he come by and talked to you and he spoke to you. But maybe tonight your friendship's not that good with him. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight. You might have a need that you need to bring to him tonight. I want you to know the Lord wants you to bring it to him. He wants you to bring it to him so that he can handle it. If you need to come and pray tonight, I want you to come. Anybody in the house?